kind of town Chicago is. My kind.
Listen
of
to
town,
that voice.
I have to tell you, this man's voice spans the age range of, I guess we're middle aged now, damn it.
I think you are. I don't know that I am.
No, I think you are right there with me.
I don't think I am. I don't think so.
But it's just, you know, our parents, our grandparents, everybody loved listening to the mellifluous tones of Frank Sinatra. And then we, as children, loved it too. It was just all the families could come together and enjoy old Blue Eyes.
I have to say, Frank Sinatra was one of the only, this is weird, but it was one of the only performers, band, singers, anybody that both my parents would enjoy and I would enjoy. We had that in common. That didn't happen very often, but Frank Sinatra somehow made that happen.
Are you hearing this, Frank Sinatra Jr.?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Very well. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
100 years.
Is that hard
to believe, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. How can that be? How did that happen?
Well, there was a lot of pregnancy going around in 1950.
Sure there was. Sure it was. It was the busy season.
Right.
You are going to be appearing at the Arcata Theater, one of the best venues, I feel. This one in St. Charles. You can go to oshows.com. It's going to be a birthday party, a 100th birthday party for your father.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a party. It's a kind of... we like to refer to it as a musical biography.
Oh. That sounds way more impressive, I got to tell you the truth.
Well, we're trying to actually keep it simple rather than impressive.
Well, it's Frank, you know this. It's going to be both. It's going to be simple and impressive. How could it not be? It's Frank Sinatra. Frank, I saw you perform in downtown Las Vegas about 20 years ago, and you were just mesmerizing. You did some of your own stuff. You did some of your dad's stuff, but the audience just loved you.
We had a very good period of time at the period you're referring to at Las Vegas, and I was doing what I thought would be better music than the norm is.
Well, it was fun to watch, and you did a really nice thing. You would do a song or two, and then you would tell a story about somebody there in the band, all the guys in the band, the audience got to know them, and boy, when the night was over, we all had a great time. You did a wonderful job.
Well, I'm glad I got through to you. I was practicing a philosophy which had been imparted to me by a man who made television, who taught me to do that. And that man's name was Gene Roddenberry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that name mean anything?
He's the creator of Star Trek.
Yes.
Correct. And Star Trek, when it began, was just a television series. Next year will be 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that it became a way of life. And Mr. Roddenberry, who was the wisest man I ever knew and a very close friend, he said to me one day, because Star Trek within the industry was referred to as, quote, the thinking series, unquote. I said, Gene, how did you make that work? He said, there are those people in the word I hate, marketing, who believe that the public in general wants to put their minds in neutral and have everything spoon-fed to them and not ever have to think. But I was convinced when I created Star Trek, and this is how he put it, somewhere on the other side of the picture tube, there was an intelligent life form waiting to be entertained. And this is the way I built my show musically.
Well, it works. It's working
good. It does work. It's so funny, though, when you say the man who inspired me. I expected you to say your father. I got to be honest with you. You will be performing some of his songs, and... is it true that you were your father's manager for the last 7 years of his performing career?
No, I was not. I was never his manager. I was his orchestra conductor.
Hmm.
Okay. Did you give him a pep talk at any point as he was getting older and not feeling like he was very inspired to go out and deal with the audience? Did you tell him a Tom Jones story?
Well, what we're talking about here was when I came on board, that man was already passing through his 72nd year. And I was with him until shortly before he reached the age of 80, at which point that age forced him into retirement. And there were many times that he was just plain physically tired.
Yeah.
On the wrong side of 70, which is where I am right now, I can assure you, you don't bounce back as fast from the ravages of just plain fatigue. And I used to say to him at times when the show was imminent, was just getting ready to start, and he was tired, I used to say, "Pomp, there's a woman out there. She wants you to sing the show for her. She's got the hots for you. She's going to pull a Tom Jones on you." He says, "What? Huh? What does that mean?" I'd say, "Well, you know, Tom Jones gets on stage, he sings, and women throw bras and panties, mm-hmm. and hotel room keys and everything." And he looked at me, said, "She's going to do that to me?" I said, "Well, no, at her age, you know, a pair of support hose, a hearing aid." Well, he didn't think that was funny at all, but I did get his heart going. I would go out of his dressing room rather quickly, and everything on the table that was not fixed to the table would be right behind my head when it was going out. And then he would get on the stage and do a hell of a show.
Of course.
Yeah.
And absolutely. That's what you will be doing Wednesday, November 11th at the Arcata Theater. Frank Sinatra Jr. on the line with us, Old Brown Eyes. And what do we have to look forward to at this show?
My disdain.
Excellent. People love it.
I'll give you the Tom Jones treatment, and I don't have a hearing aid yet.
Do I have to be old brown eyes? Can I be late middle age?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. I feel better now.
Okay, good.
Hey, Mr. Sinatra, I always said if I ever got a chance to talk to you, I would tell you this, so here's my chance. You were really good playing yourself on The Sopranos. Did you enjoy doing that?
That was an amazing experience, sir. The Sopranos was such a phenomenon. And when I was called to be on that show as what they call a cameo part,
mm-hmm.
I damn near fell off the chair I was sitting on because Sopranos was such an overwhelming success.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week, their executive offices used to get called by Jack Nicholson's manager. He wanted to put Nicholson on the show. De Niro wanted to go on the show. Al Pacino wanted to go on the show. And David Chase, the man who created Sopranos, he said, "No, I'm not going to make this show a cavalcade of stars because I don't want the guests to be bigger in importance than our staff actors and actresses." And he would not permit that. So when they asked me to go on, I couldn't believe it.
Sure.
And being on that show, I filmed with them for the better part of a week, and it was one of the nicest experiences professionally that I've ever had.
And I hope to God you didn't eat the sausage when you were there.
No, it had been sitting a little bit too long.
Okay, good. And now with the reboot of Star Trek coming back, any chance we can see you on an episode of Star Trek since you were so close with Gene Roddenberry?
Oh, I doubt it. And the people who have taken... Well, Gene Roddenberry died...
Many years ago.
He won.
Yes.
So to the people who are in the executive positions now, he's just the name of somebody years ago. And it's unfortunate, but I just mentioned Star Trek because the overall philosophy, it seems, of the people who make direction for music, for movies, for television is keep it less than simple so people in the audience will never have to think.
Yep.
Roddenberry, in his stubbornness at the time, said that's wrong. People want to think. Peak their imagination, get that blood flowing. And that's when he said to me, I was convinced there was an intelligent life form out there waiting to be entertained.
Well, hopefully he was right, Frank. Can you clear up a show business rumor for me? I've heard this my entire life. Was your dad the original actor, the first choice to play Dirty Harry Callahan? Is that possible?
Yes, it was.
How about that?
The script had been submitted to several actors, in fact. And he read the script several times. And I don't know whether it was a question. He loved the idea of Dirty Harry. But I don't know if it was a scheduling incompatibility or what. He just never did it. And the script went over to Mr. Clint Eastwood. And Clint Eastwood became the quintessential Dirty Harry. Originally, the property was called Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they renamed it Dirty Harry.
Were there regrets from your dad?
Instead of the last name.
Did your dad feel bad that it didn't happen, or was he okay with that?
Well, it's just you can't do them all. You know,
yeah.
He did a lot of things that he kind of fell into. Probably his greatest performance was in The Man with the Golden Arm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to have been set up for Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
But Otto Preminger, Mies the Nice Guy, Otto Ludwig Preminger looked around. He said, you know what? Brando is a little too deep and mysterious. I need a guy who's more vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so he picked Sinatra.
I would say his work in Manchurian Candidate holds up pretty well,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is Frank Sinatra's Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Like Citizen Kane was to Orson Welles, that kind of a motion picture has a nickname, which is now in the dictionary. When you have a film that at its initial release doesn't even make people blink an eye and goes by unnoticed and years later becomes a monument, they call such a thing a sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
The Manchurian Candidate was a sleeper.
Without
just
a
like
doubt.
Citizen Kane was a sleeper.
Well, I'm looking forward to a Veterans Day special salute to Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. An incredible night. Chicago's official salute to Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. And, of course, Frank Sinatra Jr. will be there. This is all happening Wednesday, November 11th, Arcata Theater. You can go to oshows.com. It's a beautiful theater and a great place for you to perform in St. Charles. A pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you for having me to your house.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. It's Frank Sinatra Jr., everybody. Go see him at the Arcata Theater Wednesday, November 11th. oshows.com has all your information. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.